Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the last Racing Post football postcast of the season. It's an action-packed show. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to some European Championship qualifiers and the Women's World Cup are Liam Flynn and Ian Wilkerson from the Racing Post football desk. But first, before we look ahead, because I've got an Arsenal fan and a Tottenham fan in the studio, a very quick look back on the Champions League final. Liam, did you absolutely love it, Arsenal fan?
Yeah, it was a good tonic after the Europa League final, I have to say.
It didn't go too well, did it?
It wasn't a particularly good game, but we had an incredible Champions League, incredible semi-final. So, it wasn't necessarily the best end to what was a good tournament, but good result for an Arsenal fan, definitely.
And Wilco, I was at Muse. I said on the show last week, I'm going to Muse, so I hope it's an absolutely horrible game.
Dodged the bullet, didn't you?
And it wasn't great, was it?
No, not particularly. I mean, it's difficult when you're sort of like, you know, you've got a vested interest emotionally with one of the teams. But it wasn't a great spectacle. Not quite Steaua Bucharest or Red Star Belgrade in the deep and distant.
Oh, that was poor.
But, yeah.
I saw that the total audience in the big five countries in Europe, as far as football fans go, has nearly halved since they all hived the rights off to pay-per-view. They need to look at that.
Yeah.
A quick pointer for each of those two teams for next season. How do you think Tottenham will do, Liam?
Next season?
Yeah.
I think, they need to do a little bit of rebuilding. They've done incredibly well to get where they have, going through two transfer windows without having made a sign-in. It's just remarkable. But I think now they will have to look in terms of squad depth, possible player outgoings. I mean, I know Eriksen is possible talk of him leaving. Even Llorente, I've heard a little bit about, he might be going out the door. So there's certainly, they need to build and make the squad deeper. And obviously it does depend on whether Pochettino stays or not, which I think he will. But
Yeah, because it looks like Sarri's going to Juve. It looks like Ollie's staying at United. So
yeah, for the meantime, I mean,
possibly a stay. I mean, Eriksen, Wilco, you know, I said it before the Champions
League. You've not been a big fan.
Against a Palace or another team, against those teams outside the top six, I think his guile and his ability to pick a pass and dictate the tempo is fantastic. But I think once you up the opposition level, I don't think he's that great at all. So if they can cash in on him, I think that's absolutely fine. But they do need to strengthen now, don't they?
Yeah, they need to strengthen. They need to freshen things up. I think with the player situation, Eriksen would definitely leave with my good wishes. He's played well for him over seven seasons, and I definitely wouldn't begrudge him the opportunity to go. But I'm not as upset as I was when Modric left, and I'm not as upset as when Bale left either.
And what about Liverpool? Will they close the gap on City? Well, if they do, they're champions next year.
I think they definitely will. I mean, I think the big difference. Glenn Hoddle pointed to it before the chat. He said before the game, he said Liverpool do not have to play at their best to win. Tottenham do have to play at their best to win, and that's exactly what happened. And at the end of the day, Spurs couldn't break a defence with a £75 million centre half and a £75 million goalkeeper in it. So that's a big difference. I definitely think that they'll push on. They're going to have the wind in their sails, aren't they? Definitely. I think they'll be right up there for league next year.
Okay, quick word on tonight's game: England versus the Netherlands in Portugal. Liam, what's going to happen there?
I think it'll be quite a lively encounter. I know a lot of people have spoken about it could be a little bit cagey, especially given you've got like Van Dijk and Kane, obviously just coming back from the Champions League final. But I think the bulk of both squads should be relatively fit. They haven't played for a while, but I think that rest would do them quite good. I think the attacking quality on display.
What's the score
I think I can see this one going to extra time. I could see 1-1 in this game. I quite like the look in terms of a bet. I like the look of Sterling to score any time. I think it's 11-5.
He's up front, isn't he?
Yeah, I'd expect so. And if not, he'll probably be out on the left against the fullback Denzel Dumfries for Netherlands, who isn't particularly experienced international.
Sure, he's got a school with him.
I thought
you sound like a Dutch footballer.
I thought he was an entertainer at the Phoenix Club.
But he's not particularly like experienced at that level, and I think against Sterling he could struggle. Sterling obviously scored four goals, I think, across those two qualifiers for England.
So. Wilco, what have you got for us?
Yeah, pretty open game, I should think. I think the patriotic punt will come for England, and consequently not a lot between the two teams. I think the Dutch will probably be value come kickoff.
Righty-ho. Okay, let's look at the weekend's European Championship qualifiers. Kicking off on Friday, in Group D, 7:45, Denmark versus Republic of Ireland. These are Paddy Power prices. They might be the best prices. There might be better value elsewhere. Do check. But they bet 8-15 Denmark, 11-2 Republic of Ireland, and 13-5 the draw. Liam, any value there?
I think I would go with Denmark, but to get a bit more value out of it, I'd be Denmark and under 3.5 goals, possibly. I think you look at Ireland, they're a bit unconvincing. Edge past Gibraltar and Georgia, both 1-0 wins, and they're going to be hampered even more in the final third. I think Alan Brown, the Preston player, who's been quite impressive this season, he's going to be out along with Shane Long as well. So they don't have much threat going forward. But I think, obviously, Denmark have the players that can hurt them. I think Eriksen will be expected to play, despite obviously featuring the Champions League final recently. And as we were talking about that move earlier on, I think when you've got that pressure on you as a player, I think it could spur him on to perform even more so in that game. But I think it will probably be quite low scoring still. Both their Nations League meetings ended goalless. So, yeah, Denmark and under 3.5.
Wilco?
Yeah, not many goals in this one. Ireland, there's only been 5 goals in their last 7 matches. And as Liam pointed out, both goalless draws in the Nations League. 1-2 unders is under 2.5 is a bit shy for me. So if you want a bit more bang, 8.5 under 1.5 goals.
Okay, jolly good.
That's on 5, sorry.
Nice one. On Saturday, Group E, 2 o'clock, Croatia versus Wales. This should be good. It's live on Sky Sports and it's 8-15 Croatia, 13-5 the draw, 9-2 Wales. Wilco, what do you like here?
I like both teams to score. I think Croatia need to pick up, really. They've not been great since they got to the World Cup final. They only nudged past Azerbaijan and they fell to Hungary in their last qualifier. 1 clean sheet in their last 13. And that's since they beat Argentina that night when they won 3-0 in the World Cup. It was one of the best games, wasn't it?
Modric and Bale playing?
Yeah, we would expect that the big games are there. I mean, Bale, he should be rested, shouldn't he? He's not had the rigours of a hectic season with Real Madrid. And I mean, they've got some really good midfielders like Daniel James and David Brooks. Give them a bit of a life. They're not so much of a one-man team when it comes to going forward.
That Wales team's actually taking shape now, isn't it, when you look at names like that? I mean, Dan James is about to go to Man United. Brooks is now £40 million pound player.
Ampadu as well.
It's almost like it's going to turn into that Wales team of the 80s where they were, they had great, really good players like Hughes and Rush and good forwards, and Mark Hazlewood playing centre-half.
Yeah, it was brilliant, that, to get things like that, didn't you?
Your mate Eric Young as well, he was always a store out of that, wasn't he? So, 6-5, both teams to score. I think Wales will be positive. I think they can get something.
Liam, what's the bet here?
Exactly the same tip, funnily enough. I wouldn't be rushing to back Croatia. Obviously, they had a defeat to Hungary recently. I don't think there's going to be any Ivan Rakitic either. And I think you can't really underestimate the importance of him in that team either. But they do have Kramaric and Perisic in the final third. Obviously, have Modric playing, so they've got good attacking quality. And as we were just talking about Dan James and Gareth Bale, I think Wales have got the pace to hit them on the counter and at least grab a goal. And both teams to score has landed in Croatia's last 4 games. So I'd go for that.
Okay, Saturday's other game we're going to look at is Group C, 5 p.m. Estonia versus Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland favourites at 5-6. Estonia are 130, and the price I'm drawn to is the draw, 2-1. Liam, will it be a draw?
I'm going for Northern Ireland, actually. I think, obviously, they were comfortable winners in the reverse fixture. They won the shot count 19-5 in that game, and they have to win these matches against Estonia and Belarus, because then they've got tricky games against Germany and the Netherlands to come in that group stage. And I think, Estonia suffered defeats to Greece, Finland and Hungary recently in the Nations League, and they only edged past Gibraltar, so I'd be looking to back Northern Ireland here.
Would you, Wilco?
Yeah, I'd agree. The thing with Northern Ireland is there's a massive difference between the team that play in Belfast and when they go on their travels. They've won 13 of their last 19 home games, which is quite a good record for a nation that wouldn't be regarded as one of the premier teams in Europe, but they've not scored in their last 7 away games. Having said that, they're playing a team who are ranked 96 in the world. There's only 10 European teams who are ranked lower than Estonia, and the home team have only won 2 of their last 8 on their home patch. So I think that they can buck that trend of their poor away form and get something.
This sounds like a both teams to score no job to me. Okay, on Sunday in Group I, 7:45 p.m. Scotland are 4-9. You might be thinking, hang on a second, Scotland are 4-9. Who are they playing? They're playing Cyprus, who are 11-2, and Paddy Power go 3-1 the draw. Wilco, can we trust the Scots at 4-9 here?
Well, it's going to be Steve Clarke's first game as manager, so that could have an effect. They're playing at Hampden.
I'd say he's an uplift, wouldn't you, on Big Ek?
Well, yeah, and he's had a very good season. Anybody who gets Kilmarnock to finish third in the Scottish Premier League behind the two old firm teams, that's a meet of a good achievement, definitely. The thing about this group is they stunk the gaff out when they lost 3-0 in Kazakhstan, Scotland. But it's a very open group. Belgium are top of it and are very likely to be at the top at the end of the fifth. But there's 4 teams, Cyprus, Russia, Kazakhstan and Scotland, have all won one and lost one of their opening two games. So it's pretty much all to play for. The bet
except
that I like,
Belgium will win by miles, and then Russia will finish second by miles.
Well, maybe not. You know, Russia. You know, they had a World Cup, but they did flatter a little bit, didn't they? So I definitely wouldn't rule them out of putting that result behind them and kicking on. First goal scorer, I like Ryan Fraser. He's had a great season at Bournemouth, Bridlux Park. He's 8-1, which is decent each way value. James Forrest is a favourite for this, but he's scored a hat-trick in his last, when they beat Israel in the Nations League. They beat Albania as well, so they had a couple of decent results in the Nations League. But he's only scored 2 in his last 10 games for Celtic, so I think he's worth taking on, and Fraser's a man I'm a big fan.
I thought Fraser was one of those ones who turned his back on them. Is that right, or is he... Maybe not. Maybe I'm doing him a disservice.
I think he's featured.
He's been committed to the cause all the way, has he?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think he's still in
the
team.
He's in the picture.
Yeah,
oh, that's good news. So. Yeah. Great player.
Yeah, for me, I'd think quite a comprehensive Scotland win. I'd say -1. Get with the -1 on the goal handicap. I think there will be quite a good feel-good factor around Hampden Park, obviously, not only with Steve Clarke coming in, but obviously Andy Robertson will be returning to the first team
course,
as well.
Yeah.
And I think he's just a massive boost.
As well, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
I think he is.
Yeah. He was giving it. He was like, oh, yeah, I've won the Champions League, great, but I'm really up for this game. He's very much been positive about his involvement this week.
No, he'd be in most people's top three of footballers you'd like to have a few beers with, wouldn't he, Robertson?
Yeah,
just seems like a brilliant, brilliant bloke, doesn't he?
He's got a great character, a great player, will contribute defensively and going forward for them. And then you look at Cyprus, I mean, they've picked up a point from their 3 away games in the Nation League against mediocre sides. They're ranked 89th in the world, I think. So, yeah, I think it should be quite an easy opening win for Steve Clarke of Scotland.
It's never easy with Scotland. Let's do the Women's World Cup next.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. We are looking ahead to the Women's World Cup, which starts on Friday. Very exciting, wide open tournament. The Women's World Cup was I loved it 4 years ago. I think it was in Canada. It was brilliant, wasn't it? It was a superb tournament. Slick football. Played in a fantastic spirit, no diving, no cheating, no arguing. It's absolutely superb. Do make sure you watch the Women's World Cup. It will be brilliant. And hopefully, we've got a couple of bets for you to make it even better. I'll spin through Paddy Power's leading prices. 11-4 the USA, 7-2 the hosts France, 5-1 Germany, 7-1 England, 12-1 Japan, the Netherlands and Australia. Sorry, Netherlands and Australia are actually 14-1, and it's 16-1 bar. Liam, who will win the Women's World Cup final?
Obviously, there's a lot of excitement about USA. I mean, they're clear favourites, never finished lower than third at Women's World Cup. But I think there's reasons to oppose them. They only made the quarterfinals of the Olympics in 2016. And although they've got some incredible quality going forward, I think it's fair to say they've got quite an ageing squad. I mean, Carly Lloyd is, about 36, Megan Rapinoe, 33, Tobin Heath, 31. So I think there's reasons to oppose them. Also, France, I mean, they're right up there, as you say, home advantage. The big key for them is that the whole core is comprised of Lyon players who've just gone and won a fourth successive Champions League title. They've got the likes of Wendy Renard, the centre-back, Amandine Henry in midfield, and usually the Sommet. So they've got a good core to their team. But they've never made it past the quarterfinals. And there's going to be added pressure because I don't think a nation has ever held the men's and women's titles at the same time. So there's obviously that added pressure, and
it could inspire them, though, Liam.
It could, yeah, very much so. But I don't like the 7-2 for a team that have never made it beyond the quarterfinals is a bit too risky for me. So I think the team I like the look of are Germany. I think, 2015 semi-finalists, two-time World Cup winners. They're always there or thereabouts, and they go into this tournament, I believe, unbeaten in 13 matches. And I think the edge they've got over these other sides going into this tournament is a slight sense of unpredictability. I mean, their coach is Martina Voss-Tecklenburg. She's only been there since November, but she's made a good start. And they've got a very good blend, I think, of youth and experience in that team. They've still got their core of like the goalkeeper, Almut Schultz. Jennifer Marajan is one of the best, probably the best playmaker in the world, possibly, and Alexandra Popp up front. But then kind of complemented by these younger players, likes of Leah Schuler and Sara de Brit. So I think, I'd look at Germany as my main fancies for in the outright.
Well done, Liam. Very strong case for the Germans. Who are you going to go for, Wilco?
I like the Americans, but there are a couple of others that are a bit further down the list who I think they could do. I'll talk about America first. We've mentioned they've lost once in their last 38 matches. They just know how to get the job done, and they've got a very comfortable group. It is an open tournament, but they've you know, they've got a dream draw. They're going to play Chile and Thailand. They're playing Thailand in their first game. They're 33-1 on to win that match. They could really rack up a few goals in. So I can't see that there's going to be a problem them getting through the group stage. And they play Sweden in their last game, the team who knocked them out of the Olympics. So you can imagine the American mentality of, you know, that's really going to inspire them to get through that. They are, 11-4, there's a little bit bigger than 11-4 out there. So I think they're the best of the big guns, but it's a tournament that's quite top heavy when you look at the draw, because if the Americans get through their relatively easy group, they're going to have to play either Germany or Spain in the last 16, then possibly France in the quarterfinals, then possibly England in the semis. So if Germany get through, that's the teams that are second, third, and fourth in the world. Whereas on the other half of the draw, there's a bit of value with some teams that could give you a good run for your money.
And we're 24
way.
Teams, aren't we? So we yes. go 24, four groups, six groups of four, and then a round of 16, isn't it?
And the four best third place.
Four
teams.
Best third
place. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So
yeah,
to produce. Right. Yes. So we get to 24, yeah. then 16.
Horrible format, but
yeah, it's not ideal. The teams that I like from an each way perspective are Australia, who they've got an excellent forward in Sam Kerr, who's a real star player, and they've been pushing on. They were unlucky to finish runners up to Japan in the Asian Cup. I think they could go well. They've had a last-minute change of manager. There's been a bit of a tiff. Alan Sacic was manager, and they sacked him for having an unsatisfactory football environment. So they've got a new manager. There was a bit of a row because they had as a young girl, 16-year-old Mary Fowler, who he didn't want to play, but she's got her dad's Irish. So there's a dual nationality issue. So Australia are desperate for her to play so that they keep her because she's up and rising. They should win their group. They look good. I like Holland as well. Current European champions, definitely pushing on. And they should, if they both win their respective groups, they'll meet each other in the quarterfinal. So if you back both of them each way, then you should have a runner in the semis. So that would be, you know, which would not be a bad win when they're 14-1, 16-1. And the team, a little bit further out, Spain, 25-1. They're going to play in the style that we'd associate with Spanish football. They play in the same manner of as the men's team, lots of tight passing, good possession, tidy footballers. They're on the up. They won all eight of their qualifying matches. They didn't get through the group stage last time, which was their debut, but Spanish women's football is definitely on the up. They won the under-19 and the under-17 European Championships. They're 25-1. I think they can give America a real the Germans a really good run in their group, and if they get through, 25-1 is a decent each way shot for a team with many of their players play for Barcelona, who were runners up to Lyon in the Champions League final last week.
Fantastic, well done, lads. Go on. You got
the other thing I was going to add is the Netherlands. I think they're just I think they're way too big. I think the reason they're being underrated is because they qualified via a playoff, didn't they? They also had a pretty poor show in the Algarve Cup recently, so maybe that's seen them inflate a bit. I don't know, but they're still Euro 2017 champions, and I just think going forward, you look at the players they've got at their disposal: Vivian Miedema, who's obviously an Arsenal player, Shanice van der Sanden, Lieke Martins, Daniela van der Donk. They've just got possibly the best forward going forward. It's probably the best in the tournament, maybe USA, I don't know.
Okay, so to summarise, you're going Germany, Holland, or Netherlands and Wilco?
I'll go America and Australia.
Okay, lovely stuff. Right, top scorer then, Paddy Power, go. 11-2, Alex Morgan of the USA. 7-1, Samantha Kerr from Australia, and France's Eugenie Le Sommer. 15-2, Vivian Miedema from the Netherlands. 11-1, Alexandra Popp. 12-1, Valerie Govan of France. And 14-1, Megan Rapinoe from the American squad. 16-1, Bar. Where's the value, Wilco?
Well, I've just said that the Americans have got an easy group and they've got a couple of games that they should win quite convincingly. So it's no surprise to see Alex Morgan at the top of the market. But she's only scored three in her last ten games for America, and they've had some pretty hefty wins. So I think I'll swerve her and go for a teammate, Tobin Heath at 16-1, who's had an excellent recent record. She'll be playing as a support striker. She's scored five in her last seven internationals. And the other one I like is Miedema, the Dutch girl. I've seen her play two or three times for Arsenal. Very good. She's going to. It's a bit like it's a bit like Harry Kane, you know, that she's going to play every game. She's got a great record, 58 goals in 75 games for Holland and 29 goals for 25 games for Arsenal this year. So she's really good. What I would say about the top scorer market is that there's quite a lot of England players at towards the top of it, and I would be tempted to give them a swerve, mainly because we're pretty much in the dark about what the team that Phil Neville's going to pick. So you don't really know who's going to play. He's got five or six players who are all capable of having a big tournament, but I just get the feeling that he's going to chop and change them a lot. And yeah, I'd give them a swerve. You might not get much value in there.
Righty-ho. Liam, who do you like for top scorer?
I mean, the USA strikers are certainly tempting, like Wilco said. I mean, I like the look of possibly Megan Rapinoe. She could like fill her boots in games against like Thailand and Chile. So if you're looking for a USA striker, I think she probably represents the best value. But my main tip, sort of keeping with the Germany theme, would be their captain, Alexandra Popp, the striker. She scored 13 goals for Wolfsburg in the Bundesliga this season, 46 goals for her country. And as I said earlier, I think she's probably got the best playmaker in the world in Jennifer Marajan playing behind her, who you expect to feed her throughout the game. And she's, you know, quite a physically imposing striker. And she's got, Germany have also got games in which she could score bucket loads, like against South Africa and possibly China as well. So I think for my main tip for top scorer, I like the look of her. I like Mediema, I think, is a good one in the top scorer, but I think you can get even more value out of her in sort of a player of the tournament bet, because she was top scorer in the Women's Super League, but she also laid on 10 assists as well, and she's quite an exciting player to watch in the final third. Yeah, so true. I think that's quite a big price for player of the tournament. It was about 25 to 1.
Didn't there used to be a tennis player called Alexander Popp, didn't they? Do you remember him years ago?
Good facts about this, Alex Popp.
Oh, yeah.
She's a zookeeper.
Is she really?
A zookeeper and a professional footballer. What a great life.
Wow, that is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's just completed a 3-year apprenticeship to be a zookeeper.
I wonder what animal she looks after.
Well, I'm sure that will be a subject of a BBC
Imagine
interview.
Imagine she looked after
time.
Paul the Octopus during the Germany World Cup. That'd be the biggest coincidence ever, wouldn't it? Right, let's look at two of the more intriguing first round games. Starting with the curtain raiser on Friday at 8 p.m. South Korea take on the host France. It's live on BBC One. And don't forget another great thing about the Women's World Cup, extensive terrestrial coverage. Paddy Power make the French 1-10. They go 22-1 that South Korea can provide a massive upset. And the draw is 15-2. What's your best bet, Liam?
I think France sort of -2 on the handicap. I think they'll start this tournament off with a bang. I think South Korea are quite over-reliant on Chelsea's Jae So-yeon. They don't really have a lot elsewhere. They only qualified for the tournament via goal difference. They lost to Iceland in April and lost to Sweden last month. And as I said, I talked about that core of that France team is just made up of winners who just come off that Champions League win with Lyon. They'll be buzzing, so I think they can get quite a comprehensive win there.
Wilco?
I'm going unders. I think you will not see much endeavour from the Koreans. They'll be parking the bus. France coming in good form. I mean, they've won 13 of their last 14 matches, but obviously as hosts, they haven't played any sort of competitive football, even though they've played against some of the big teams in the world. They beat the Americans as well in that run. I've just taken a chance that it might take them to get... There's a lot of pressure on them. We've pinpointed that... they've not got past the quarterfinals. There's a hell of a lot of expectation for a team that haven't done much in the past. I just think that they might get off to a slow start. So under 2.5 goals at 5-4 for me.
And on Sunday at 5 p.m, it's England versus Scotland. Again, live on BBC One. 1-7 England, 13-1 Scotland, 11-2 the draw. Wilco, do those odds reflect England's supremacy over Scotland?
I think they beat them 6-0 in the Euros, but I don't think we're going to see that sort of game. If you'd have said to me in March, after England had won the prestigious She Believes Cup in America, where they beat Brazil, Japan, who were runners-up last year, and drew with America, I would have said, yeah, this will be a comfortable game. But there's not been a lot to be really enthusiastic about in the recent warm-up games. They lost to New Zealand at Brighton last week. They also failed to beat Canada. They didn't put a great performance in when they won 2-0 against Denmark. And I do fear that Phil Neville's having trouble identifying who his best team is. They've played different goalkeepers in these warm-up matches. There's not been one point where it's sort of like, right, you don't get the idea that this is my 1-11. You don't know how he's going to utilise lots of good attacking options. Scotland's, and I think Scotland have a chance of making a big impression in this
What's
game.
What's the bet?
I think I will go for England and both teams to score, mainly because Paddy Power didn't have both teams to score, the market priced up at the time coming over. But Scotland have scored in 12 of their last 14 matches. They played Jamaica who have also qualified. They're the first Caribbean team to have made the World Cup. They won 3-2 at Hampden in front of a big crowd last week. But, you know, they conceded some sloppy goals. And but I'm not so sure about England. They're going to be, they've got their back four all sorted, playing together, the way they're going. So, yeah.
England are both teams to score.
13-5, that is.
Righty-ho. And Liam?
I think it'll be quite a cagey affair. I'll go England under 3.5. I mean, five of Scotland's last seven games have been settled by a single goal margin. Like I said, England have tournament preparations haven't been particularly good. I think you're right about not being sure of the best first team. Obviously, the absence of Jordan Nobbs in midfield is quite a big blow. It'd be interesting to see if Lucy Bronze, probably one of the best fullbacks in the world, she might plug that gap and they might be okay. But I think England could be possibly overrun in midfield in the bigger games.
But it's not the time to be sorting out how you're going to play.
No, absolutely. No, it's a bit late, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, chaps, if we were looking at one bet on the opening skirmishes of the World Cup, who would we go for, Wilco? It can be whatever you like, a match, a group, you name it.
Australia to win Group C at 5-6.
Why?
I think that Brazil are weak. The second team in that field, they're in dismal form, lost their last nine games. Italy and Jamaica, not got World Cup pedigree.
Okay, and what are you going to go for, Liam?
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. I think Australia top Group C, Sam Kerr in their ranks, aging Brazil side with Marta and Formiga, and inexperienced Italy and Jamaica team. So I'll echo that as well.
Beautiful. Well done, chaps. Thank you very much. This is the last football podcast of the season. I'd like to say a few thank yous to Liam, to Wilco, to Mark, to Dan, to James Milton, all the other guys from the Racing Post, to Jason and to Emmett and to Maliki and all the other brilliant guys at Paddy Power who have come on and given us loads of great winners, to Rob and to Adam behind the glass. Most of all, though, to you guys for watching, for listening, for all your feedback, for chipping in with They Paid for Both Clubs, giving us all great comments. We absolutely love doing the Racing Post football postcast and we're looking forward to being back with you in time for the new season in August.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.